when we talk about food, I often will have goosebumps. I get tears in my eyes. Like, we just love so much what we do. You either eat to live or live to eat. We live to eat. We call ourselves professional chefs and we call ourselves professional eaters. We want every bite to be as delicious as the last.
Welcome to Voices of Leadership, my podcast that tells the stories of women who are redefining success and thriving on the edge of change. In this episode, I'm joined by two dynamic chefs and educators who have turned their passion for food into a thriving business and a lasting friendship. Red Seal qualified chefs Jody O'Malley and Kirsty Herbstreit are the co-founders of The Culinary Studio. Together, they bonded over properly cooked calamari and never looked back. What began as a shared love of food and teaching grew into a business built on connection, community, and curiosity. In this episode, we talk about why food is so much more than fuel and how it creates memories, brings people together, and even saves marriages. They have a great story about that. Jody and Kirsty talk about their dueling chicken noodle soup recipes, and the three of us share memories we had cooking with our grandmothers. This conversation was more than a behind-the-scenes look at what happens in their online cooking classes. Jody and Kirsty share what it takes to build and grow a business as partners, the lessons they've learned through entrepreneurship, and how being lifelong learners has shaped their journey. This conversation was an inspiring reminder that the kitchen isn't just a place for cooking. It's also a place of joy, connection, and creativity. I'm so excited. We were able to not have dinner, but we were at a fantastic networking dinner a few weeks ago. But there was a lot of us, and so we didn't get to chat all that much. But we got as far as having you guys on the podcast, so I'm pretty excited.
Yeah, we are too. We love female run businesses, and any way that we can lift each other up and support each other, we're all for it.
So we're going to talk a lot about cooking, and you guys are well aware that I am not a good cook and I struggle in the kitchen. So I'm excited to learn a few things and be inspired. So before we get to the business and the business of cooking and all the things that you guys have done, I really want to know from each of you, where did your love of cooking come from?
Jody, I'm going to quote you, you know, what your mom was cooking for dinner would, you know, determine whether you're going to sulk home from school or skip home from school, right? Like, we grew up with a love of cooking, I think, you know, just from our families. And I always joke, like, somebody in the family had to be a chef. I had two older brothers and everyone was obsessed about food. We still are. And so the love, I think, for us, just for me anyways, came from just a real obsession for flavor and good meals, and every meal counted, and it was just an important part of our lives. I loved being around food.
Yeah, like, and to further that, my mom, both of our moms are really good cooks. Kirsty's mom still bakes, and we get excited, like, when she shares the trimmed bits. Like, she doesn't think they're the best, and I think they're the most amazing part of it. And, you know, my mom, you know, when we were kids, her stress relief would be throwing epic 80s dinner parties. Like, we're talking, you know, like Croquel Saint Jacques and, you know, like courses, like a number of courses. And afterwards, all of the liqueurs and drambuie and all of those things would come out. Like, not that I was drinking a B-52 when I was young, but I could pour a mean one, right? It was a family affair to tidy up and clean up. It was just so much fun. And I, like, food just, it just connects people, right? Like, it can either transport you to that best vacation when you're like, I'm going to make, you know, paella because I spent a couple weeks in the summer in Spain, and to recreate that and those feelings. If you close your eyes, you almost feel like you're there. And the other thing, the biggest compliment that Kirsty and I ever get is when someone, and I get goosebumps when I even say it, is that if it reminds them of their grandmother or their mother that passed or their dad made that, like, it's like, that's, food is more than just fuel. It's a feeling. And that's, Kirsty and I grew up with that.
I love that excitement. It's so nice to hear. Jody, when you talk about memories, I mean, food is more about eating. It is about memories. My grandmother was a fantastic cook and she would bake all the time. And I have those memories. Absolutely, I do. And we would bake and watch a lot of game shows like Price is Right and $25,000. Oh, I know, $25,000 pyramid. So those are definite memories that come from the kitchen. Absolutely.
What would you eat during those game shows?
Oh, well, it was a lot of baking. So I was like, oh, I get to eat the raw cookie dough, which is something I still love today, which is, you know, not always good for you, but whatever. We did it anyway because it didn't matter.
I love that.
Like, I also think, like, you know, when we grew up, going out to dinner was a huge deal. Like, it's so frequent now. There wasn't those options, you know, it was like Swiss Chalet or that's it, right? Like,
yes.
You know, maybe we went to Gulf Steakhouse or the T and Ho Inn. Like,
oh, the T and Ho. Yes.
Those were major occasions. So there was so much more need to cook at home. You know, we were lucky if we got like the old El Paso, you know, yellow taco. That was like exotic.
So on that, what is your favorite meal to cook and what makes it so special for you?
I know what Kirstie's going to say.
Do you? Well, I'm curious because I'm trying to think about that. I have been thinking about it. You go ahead, Joey.
I honestly thought you were going to say the chicken noodle soup. The reality is we have dueling versions. Kirstie has hers. It's very particular, and mine is also very particular. Mine is more, my chicken noodle soup is more, it had like dumpling noodles in it, where my mom would just mix like eggs and flour and just mix it up and then just drop them in there. And so they would just be these scraggly dough bits in this delicious, you know, well-seasoned chicken stock with real chicken and vegetables, and sometimes potatoes would be added for that full meal. And when she made it on those days, we had these plates that were like, had wide rims. So, you know, even in the summer, my dad would come home from work, and we would eat all as a family. There were six of us, and we would eat it on a plate, and so that it would cool faster, and we'd have these soups on the plate. And then when I had kids, I changed it a bit. I made like noodles that I would roll out and then let my kids, you know, help with it. So I would roll these sheets of noodles, and then they would take it and then they would like Play-Doh it into balls or like into like accordions. They would throw it, like literally throw a lot of soup, and it would just cook away. And then they would always hope that they would get their particular noodles that they made. And even today, my whole family gets excited if I make the chicken noodle soup. I call my brothers and I'm like, hey, do you need a bowl of this chicken noodle soup? Because it's a food, but as we said earlier, it's the emotion, it's the transportation that it brings you. And my kids all feel loved. I felt loved when my mom made my favorite pot of soup or, you know, dinner. So it's hard. And as chefs, it's really hard to pinpoint just one meal. And I think that we carry on those traditions and memories through the food that we make.
Yeah. Yeah. You're right, Jody. Soup definitely would have been my answer. I find it's always my answer. I find it, for me, I just love the process of making soup, right? I like turning nothing into something. It reminds me of, and Jody, you know this story, my first apprenticeship job I had to audition for, and they basically put a bunch of ingredients in front of us and said, make a soup, right? Soup is the hardest thing to make because it's monotonous. Every bite should taste, has to taste perfect, delicious, because it tastes the same. And so it needs to be perfectly balanced, seasoned well, and all that sort of stuff. And I'll look in the fridge and just absolutely love to put my head down and make any kind of soup. Chicken noodle, for sure. That's the process of it, and is so relaxing. But any kind of soup, I will gravitate towards. We try to, like, install, like, you know, as you know, we do cooking classes, soup classes. I don't know, people think it's boring. They don't sell as as well as they should. It's so important.
I agree. There's lots of hardcore memories baked into food. You guys have sort of, we've talked a little bit around partnership and business and what you guys are up to today. So let's talk a little bit about the culinary studio and its journey and your journey within it. So you've had you've experienced a few shifts in your business model over the years. Can you talk a little bit about what that experience was like? Because lots of people go through career pivots, and I think yours is an interesting journey and lots of people can learn from it.
I think our journeys start, we don't even remember where the journey starts. That's also part of it, right? Like we started in this kitchen, really, Jody, right? Fun fact, I bought Jody's house. She was living here and she was cooking, and we had met because female chefs were, I think maybe still are, but pretty rare. So it's like we knew each other from Waterloo, from, you know, high school, but didn't really know each other. But it was like Jody's like, hey, aren't you going to chef school? And I said, yeah. She's like, we should talk sometime. That's how I remember it anyways. And we did, and kind of started this journey of not working in a restaurant, but rather like sharing the knowledge, right? Jody was kind of sharing it with her mom group, and she's like, hey, why don't you come over sometime? And we started just kind of developing this teaching strategy. We started going into people's homes and teaching them how to cook. I had like these random people come to my house teaching them how to cook. And then, you know, as the famous statement goes, Jody, right? We're not going to be young and cute forever. Let's start a real business that maybe we can sell one day.
Well, and I'm glad that you gave us some context, sort of how it started, because really what I find fascinating, and everybody, of course, was affected by the pandemic, but your business model especially required a lot of entrepreneurial resilience, and you really took your model and flipped it on its head. So tell us a little bit about that experience as well.
Well, you know, you gave us some questions that you were going to ask us, and one of the words that you used was evolution, and I love that word. I love the word evolution because it really is like a pivot. When we talk about food, I often will have goosebumps. I get tears in my eyes. Like we just love so much what we do. And you either eat to live or live to eat. We live to eat. We call ourselves professional chefs and we call ourselves professional eaters. We want every bite to be, you know, as delicious as the last. In terms of a business, we built a business where everyone would come together and sit beside each other, not necessarily know each other, and just like be friends by the end of it. But when the pandemic hit and we were talking to our clients and we realized that they were going home and not coming back, we're like, we won't have a business then. We can open our doors, but no one can come in. So we closed our doors, like everyone at that time. And there were so many emotions that I think, you know, one of the beauties of being humans is we forget so quickly. But I do remember just walking the streets with my kids and just crying. And I'm like, we have put our heart and soul in this business. And what do we do now? Like, you know, the reality is in the restaurant business, it was 2.5+ years where we were able to then run businesses as we did before. Kirstie, you know, popped by her husband's butcher shop where people were just getting meat in their trunk. And one of our clients was there and they're like, you should run a cooking class online. And I'm like, would you take that? She's like, yeah, for sure I would. And so during the pandemic, we as, you know, like just for the off chance became what we called pandemic proof. Right. We had that escape for people. We were, you know, everyone was having a cocktail with it because they couldn't go anywhere. It felt like an escape. We were online, but our feeling is always to feel connected. And we happened to make that happen. People felt connected. People felt like they could escape and have a delicious meal all at the same time. And then we had a learning curve that was massive in terms of technology and cameras and lighting and little mini switchboards and microphones, all of those things. We've really become experts in an experience that doesn't feel disconnected, even though everyone's in their own homes. And but we just need to, the pendulum will go like never online, and then we're coming back to like, okay, I do want to stay home tonight. I do want to have some girls over. Let's do this thing on online, and I'll have a blast, and then be with Kirstie and Jody for an hour and a bit, and then we can enjoy a delicious meal. And people are replicating it. That's our biggest accomplishment, when someone says, oh my goodness, I just made Kirstie's soup again. I make it every week. It's so delicious. I love it. Like, we're very proud of those moments.
I can imagine that's got to be the end result that you're looking for, because you don't want it to be a one-time thing. You want them to learn and take those learning and then continue to make whatever you've taught them. Congratulations. I think that's fantastic. So you talked a little bit about, and you're right, I think great entrepreneurs do evolve, not pivot. So I'm glad that you called that out, because you guys really did a good job evolving your business to what the market was demanding at the time. And you're still doing that today. So what was the most challenging part of adapting your classes to the digital format?
I think timing. You know, we were chatting before, Amy, right? Like, Jody and I used to, like, we used to need a script, right? Like, who's saying what? And in the technology part of that, how to balance the classes. Now we kind of joke where it's like the 1980s workout, 20 minute workout, where there's like a fast person in the front and then like a modified version, somebody in the background. And so it's like, we just learned to stay true to our motto, which is our motto is today is no cook is left behind, right? It there was definitely chaotic moments, and now, like, I don't know, Jody, like, do you remember the last moment of chaos? I don't know. We've learned to hone our craft over the years to make classes so, what's the clear and concise and results driven, and learning what people want. That's been part of it. That's kind of one part of it. Of course, the technology is the other part, which we're still always trying to learn and keep up on. And now the challenge is, what Jody's really taken a hold of is all the SEO, and I don't even know the words you'd say sometimes, schema markup, like all these things that we have to do to stay top of mind of people in a rat race that is the internet. You know, we always say we feel we have so much to give, like there's no giving up point because we're not ready. That's our learning curve right now. Last night, true story, a 13-year-old said to me, Jody, I didn't even tell you this. It's like, oh, you popped up on my YouTube, your meatloaf video. I'm like, did you subscribe? He's like, yeah. Looks amazing. I'm like, now that's an accomplishment, right? We got into some 13-year-old's YouTube feed. So I feel like we're doing the right thing.
That is a huge accomplishment, because really those feeds are probably the hardest to crack. So good job. That's awesome.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. He's slipping through rock videos, skateboarding, and then meatloaf popped up somewhere.
Perfect. You're onto something. You're using some word that's correct that I also, Kirstie, do not understand. So I get it.
Yeah.
Now, so we've talked a little bit about the online challenge and the evolution, and then some of the sort of changes you made to classes. But the other thing is that you're a partnership, and there are numerous stories about how that doesn't work or it doesn't evolve. And so you're almost taking on two challenges, not that it's always a challenge, but two things at the same time, because working with someone to build a business and how you've done it over the years is quite an accomplishment. So what have you learned about working with a business partner?
I think one of the biggest superpowers you can have in life is empathy. I think that once you learn to be empathetic to others, have respect for others, like life's hard, but it becomes a little bit easier if you just like take a pause and you're like, what is that person going through? Kirstie and I share a passion, like intense passion, right? Like one of us, we both have leadership qualities. We both can, you know, we can both be in the driver's seat, but we also know when to let the other person be in that driver's seat. I have like very big picture thoughts. Kirsty definitely can rein me in and be like, okay, girl, like you can think those big picture thoughts, but today we need to get this done. Can you like develop this recipe? You know, today it was like, can you develop a recipe for biscuits that I can cook on a campfire? And I'm like, yep, I can do that today, right? So it does come down to a whole lot of consideration for the other. We want to succeed together. I have so much respect for her from, you know, from a, like, I want to be like her when she grows up. She's patient, she's kind, right? Her, you know, like her, she never raises her voice at her kids, where I'm like, just more like, I always say that I'm color commentary. Let's get Kirstie in there for the efficiency, and she'll make things run. And then I just come in with like, hey, what about this? And then she'll be like, all right, Jody, like, let's wrap this up. Let's get it back on track. But you really do have, like, if you're in a successful marriage, and I've been divorced once, so I feel like I'm in a very successful marriage. My husband said to me the other day, he was like, hey, if you don't like me, go to bed and wake up in a better mood. Because he was like, you're stuck with me. And I'm like, that's fantastic, right? So it's the same thing. Like, all of those emotions pass. But if you like, we have a very common goal. We love what we do. We just want to continue to share that. And having that respect and consideration for each other is really important. Percy's got two kids. I've got four. My life is like a shit show every single day. Kirstie will come over sometimes and will work from either home. Hers is like the equivalent to a Zen garden, as far as I'm concerned, right? She'll come here and I can see it on her face sometimes. She's just what is going on? I'm like, that's just normal.
I'm gonna flip your question and just say, you know what, the challenge would be not having a business partner, right? Like when I'm like I see it because my husband owns a business and he doesn't have that soundboard. Like nobody, not even his like highest paid best staff member gets it, right? And old like my friends don't get it. Right. My mom doesn't get it. My union brother doesn't get it. Nobody gets the struggle except for me and Jody. And we do it together. And so the challenge of not, I couldn't imagine the challenge of not having a business partner because that's the only thing that's going to get you through.
Oh, that's such a, you guys have a beautiful partnership and it's enviable. And I think everyone who does have a business partner can aspire to what you've built. And so congratulations on that. And it's a huge success, or it's a huge reason why you're successful, I would imagine.
Oh, for sure.
I think so. Yeah. Jody's always like, we can make it better, right? We can make it more delicious.
Well, and I think too, the other thing that you've really done, which I'm very interested in, is because it used to be in person and now you've taken the classes online, but in that process, you've blended things like team building, family time, relationship building into your offerings when you've actually removed the in-person piece, which is very interesting. So was that a deliberate choice, or was that something that you noticed growing organically?
I think the team building component of it was a natural, like that happened right away, right? Like it was just such an obvious choice, right? For teams during the pandemic, it was the number one thing to do. And we were very lucky in that, you know, we were exposed to so many companies at that time. And it still is a very relevant, obvious choice, right? There's so many teams that work remotely. You know, we were waking up at 7 in the morning making butter chicken with teams in Amsterdam, right? Like it was really cool, and it still is. So that happened quite easily. We've had people say like, you saved our marriage, right? Like they were like, and this was definitely kind of pandemic, but they didn't know what to do, and then they thought, okay, we can cook together. And Jody, I'll let you tell the Donna and the Donna story because that's one of our favorite relationship stories.
Yeah, we have a client and she was like, you know, she had said, we saved her marriage. They moved from their dream home up north, you know, and their mother-in-law moved in, and she felt, and as I think, as we do when we become of a certain age, we think that we sometimes know better than, you know, the younger generation. So she was feeling that her mother-in-law was criticizing or more critical of her cooking. And so they took a class, and the mother-in-law never showed her face. And we didn't even know this. She was always behind the camera. And then she'd be like, because we are removed from her, she'd be like, oh, that's how we could do it. And they would then they connected and became, you know, they were on board with a similar strategy, rather than be like, well, I scramble my eggs like this and you scramble them wrong. Right. They're like, oh, we could do it the Jody and Kirsty way. Look, they're chefs, they're experts. Let's try to make this better. And they connected. So then the mother-in-law be like, hey, can we do another class with those girls? And they still take lots of classes, and we do give a shout out to, you know, the mother-in-law behind the screen. And they're like, they're talking to you, and she's like, but she doesn't show her face. So we've never seen her. But it's just a real, like, it is, food connects. And if you're willing to just take a step, and yeah, it's just a connection that's so, it's amazing to watch it in other people as well.
And can you take classes in all varieties of ways, like outside of the corporate? Is it one class, or do you have to sign up for many? How does it work if someone's curious?
Yeah, I think it's just like browsing a menu. Ooh, what do I want to make? What do I want to cook? Is it butter chicken? Click, sign up. I get the video. I get some, you know, I could get groceries delivered to my door. I could, you know, follow along live, or maybe I want to do it on a Sunday afternoon by myself and pause the video while I'm slicing onions. People are like, oh, like I get into my own headspace and I have no interruptions. And it's like, right, I often sound like a yoga instructor during class. And sometimes that's how I feel like it is, right? It's very therapeutic to zone in on that particular recipe. So yeah, you just, we have over, I think we have about 150 cooking classes to choose from.
So are most of the courses asynchronous, or is there a way to do it live with you as well?
We have a schedule of live classes. They become recordings. You've got the option. And what we've found is that people like both for different reasons. They love the live because they love the energy. Like, I'm definitely going to, you know, Chris, you or I are going to be like, Amy, turn the heat up. I don't see any, you know, like I don't see any steam, or turn it down. Like, there's way too much going on there.
I would be turn it down, because I only cook things on high. I know that's wrong, but that's what I do.
Yeah. And through in our classes, we do talk about those. Like, we're like, okay, I'm on a smidgy above medium. That's where you need to be. This is the why. This is the how. This is what you should hear, kind of thing. We go through all of the feelings and all of the senses when cooking. And we do that in the recording. But some people like to pause, right? Some people like, how did you just peel 5 potatoes so quickly? We just do. So the recorded class allows them to pause, finish that task, and then continue on. And we want to make sure that everything is done and hot when you go to sit and eat it. So sometimes in a class, people are like, oh, we need to get the rice on. No, don't worry. We'll get it on in the time that it needs to be so that it's hot in the end. So that's, yeah. So live versus recording. All of our live classes for the most part become recordings. Sometimes we'll be like, what were we thinking recording 3 different styles of pizza in one class? Let's go back, re-record it to be more in depth about how to make a Detroit style pizza. And then we will make, you know, like the other styles in their own individual recordings.
I have to say, I didn't fully understand all of the options available. So that's actually very interesting, because you're right. People have different time limits or different wants and needs when it comes to learning how to cook. So you've really provided an array of options for everyone.
One of the things that I thought of when you're talking there, Jody, with the live version, what we've seen a lot of is like, oh, my daughter's in England. I'm here, you know, like there is that bit of a top, but we're going to, or, you know, there's six family members joining from across, you know, Ontario, wherever. So then there's this connection and you see grandparents like waving to like, you know, babies being lifted up. And that's really cool. And then after they'll go off and, you know, do their own private Zoom and have dinner together or whatever. And that's really special to us. Yeah.
Oh, that is, that's so nice to hear. So logistical question then, is it, you send the food to everybody and can you do that outside of Canada? How does it work?
You've got options. We do deliver across Canada. We have a warehouse in Waterloo that we, you know, we've got a team of elves essentially putting together these packages. We use both, you know, private local delivery companies. We support, you know, we go to St. Jacob's Farmers Market and we'll go to Farmer Robert and buy 50-pound bags of potatoes and onions. And we like that part of it. Or we've got clients that join almost every class and they do the shop themselves and they really enjoy that. We have a great affiliate program with Amazon. So if you need like fish sauce or like, you know, curry paste, we provide links for that. So it can be a hybrid or it can be like, hey, we're going to treat ourselves to the ingredient pack for this, you know, date night cooking class.
Don't forget the newest offering, which is the Instagram shoppable Instacart shoppable recipe. So the meatloaf recipe, for example, it's not a cooking class, but it's a recipe available on our website. And now you can click a button and it will take you to Instacart and that whole recipe is uploaded.
I could definitely get behind that though, because it's all about removing barriers and ease of getting started for me anyway.
It's exciting when it's like Jody's crab pasta salad, like on Instacart. We're like, we've arrived.
So I'd like to ask you some big questions because you have so much wisdom to share with everybody. And I would like for you to give, you know, some of your best pieces of advice for all of us listening, because there are a lot of entrepreneurs out there that may be facing an evolution in their business or even a necessary pivot that happens sometimes, or a significant change in their business model. What advice would you offer them based on your own experience?
If you're pursuing anything and you want it to be a business, you're like, yeah, I feel like I want to start my own business. You need to make sure that it's backed by passion. When it's backed by passion, it's totally different. Like Kirstie and I, you know, we're not making millions, but we love what we do every day. We get excited. We're so happy. We just want to, you know, continue to share everything that we've got and that we learn. I think that's an important thing, because then it doesn't feel like work, because you're also going to do things that you don't think you know how, right? Like Kirstie and I, like, the cooking is the easiest part of our day. You know, when Kirstie says, yeah, create that campfire biscuit. I'm like, yeah, no problem. Done. I already wrote it in my head. I'll go and execute it, write the recipe, and we're good. But okay, let's get this recipe on Instagram and get it to people. I'm like, okay, I need to learn what the algorithm is right now. I need to understand what the dance moves are in that. Or, you know, like AI is just, you know, it's a year and a bit old. It's not very old in terms of just in regular everyday life. And it's had such an impact on the way businesses were run, you know, 18 months ago. It's not the same. It's totally different. You have to be willing to be a lifelong learner. You have to be humbled. You're going to have to, like, what we say is like, okay, let's get those big girl pants on, just pull them up really, really high and just get through some of those hard times. I think it's okay to be vulnerable and to tell people, because when you're in a business, you think, everything's great. Everything's fantastic. Every day it's fabulous. It's not. It's bleeping hard. And meeting you and having those networking events, feels so great because you're like, you get it. I think the passion has to be there. And if it's not, you're not going to last. And I've seen lots of businesses. They're like, yeah, I'm going to open X, Y, and Z. And they open X, Y, and Z and they're gone. We've been given her for 15 years. Do we feel stable? No, but we love what we do and we're going to continue and we're going to continue to evolve. And lots of people, when it gets hard, they're gone. And I don't judge them at all for that. The entrepreneur life is not for the faint of heart.
I like how you talked about passion, because you can't thrive a business or build a business completely on passion, but it has to be there to start, because you're not wrong. You're doing this 24/7, and you're not wrong that not everyone understands that piece. It's pros and cons, but not everyone understands that.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, not a lot of people are editing a 30-second Instagram reel on brisket in 30 seconds, right? Like, and doing 15 takes, right? Like, right? That's what you do as an entrepreneur. You do those little things, and when you get it, you're like, yes.
And we touched on this briefly. You talked a little bit about when you first met, how there aren't a lot of female chefs and it is probably a male dominated industry. And I talked to lots of women sort of in that position. So you're in a unique position to sort of give us some advice. What advice do you have sort of for the next generation of female entrepreneurs?
If you want it, do it. People are going to tell you no. Don't let people say no to you. Like, I was told, what do you need to go to school to learn how to cook for? I wanted that foundation. I wanted to know the whys. And then, you know, when we were opening the business, like we opened the business on April 18th and I had a baby on April 26th. Kirsty had one the following March. So I only took 6 months off. Then we were together for 6 months at the beginning. Then she had a baby. She only had 6 months off. And then I had one more. Is that the math there? I think it is. Yeah, who knows what happened at those moments. But I remember someone, a client of ours, coming up to me and like pointing at my pregnant belly and be like, do you know how those are made? And I'm like, come on. I'm like, why can't we do this? And if we waited until our kids were at an age when it felt like it was right, it's never going to feel right. It's not, everything's going to be perfect. Just close your eyes, jump in, you know, hone into that passion, be a lifelong learner, be humbled, surround yourself with people that are better than you. I was lucky enough to have a mentor like that. We lost him, right? And it was just like, for me, it was my North Star, but I still think about him, like, what would he do here? And I can hear him, and I'm still encouraged, and we carry on. And I just find people that remind me of him, that have that little bit. And I'm like, I feel like that's him sending that person in that direction and helping us with that. Just find your people.
Oh, that's nice. That's lovely. Kirsty, I know you have some advice for us.
You know what? My advice is almost like a little bit more like a good, as Jody said, you know, you just heard her, right? Big picture, so much amazing information. And I'm like a day to day, like, you know, when, if you want to start a business, you've got to, it's a lifestyle. And in order to maintain that lifestyle, right, you've got to, you know, be healthy. Jody and I, we exercise almost every day, and we have these thoughts while we're exercising, you know, like having like a lifestyle that you can balance. It is important and I'm guilty of it. My husband said to me yesterday, you know, just walk away for half an hour. And I'm like, okay, but I have to get this. Nope, you're right. Like walk away for half an hour. So learning that you can learn and be more efficient by taking a step back, right? By not doing anything, you know, it's those sorts of things that we think that you think if you're going to be an entrepreneur, you do have to work 24/7 and be completely stressed out. It's not a thing anymore. And that's something that we learned the hard way, right? Like we were getting to a point in business 1.0, where even before the pandemic, it was getting too much. I know Jody was like, I don't know if I can do this anymore, right? And it was, and this change had to happen. And we learned a lot from it that, you know, we can continue on. There has to be a balance. And I think that's important. Life is short, as we know. Life is really, really short. So yes, if you're passionate about something, do it, because it's very, very rewarding, right? There's nothing that's more rewarding.
Oh, well, that was both of you such great advice, not just for the next generation of entrepreneurs, but for those of us still doing it today. I appreciate you sharing both sides of the story, because you're both not wrong, as sometimes we think everything's fine on when we see somebody doing their business, when we're out to dinner or online or wherever it is. But at the end of the day, we all have the same challenges and struggles, regardless of the industries that we're in. So I really appreciate both of you sharing your story today. And I learned so much about your business, what it was, what it is today. And I'm very inspired to go to the kitchen now and cook something.
Oh, fabulous. Let us help you.
I will. Don't worry. Well, thank you so much for sharing today. I really appreciate it. And I can't wait for the next time.
Thank you so much, Amy.
It was an absolute pleasure. Thank you.
Voices of Leadership is part of the Bespoke Productions Hub network of independent podcasters. If you are interested in partnering with us as a sponsor, or if you have a podcast of your own, please visit bespokeproductionshub.com for more information. This episode is hosted, produced, and edited by me, Amy Schluter.